Your name for the change of season, and Lord, we thank you so much for the many blessings and gifts you do send our way. Pray for those who are not with us traveling, wherever they may be, that you'd protect them. We pray for this few minutes that we're going to visit here with your word. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in and through as we read it, change us into the image of Christ, and Lord, grow us into more knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's some stats for you. You might suffer from nomophobia. Nomophobia is real. It is a real thing chronicled by, I guess, American whatever disease people. It's the fear of being without a device or without a way to get communication, or the fear of not being able to communicate with others from a distance. Really, it's the fear of being without a device. Nomophobia. The fear of being without a device. Anybody ever been there before? You go to leave a house, you're like, have you seen? And then you start like going through the scenarios in your head. You're like, if I don't have that, find it, you know. And you start to kind of freak out because you don't have your phone on you or your device, whatever it might be. Well, that's nomophobia. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be a pill for it pretty soon. But nomophobia. A number of college students actually shower with their cell phones. Weird. One study states that the average adolescent, now this is, the average adolescent would rather lose their pinky finger than lose their mobile device.
Oh no.
The average adolescent would rather lose their pinky finger than their mobile device. Now adolescent is a very, it's a good song, and that's true.
I know somebody.
Oh, well, I'm so used to, like, I'm a toddler world, so it probably is. You ought to write it. So they would rather lose their pinky finger than their mobile device. The average, all right? Now, I'm not saying y'all. All right, let's just start with adults. How many adults feel extreme anxiety if they are without their phone? How many would you say? I have the number right here.
10%.
10.
I say 50.
50.
Yeah, I would say 60.
60?
Yeah.
65. 65? Oh, good.
66?
Very good, very good. 66% of adults experience extreme anxiety if they're without their phones. Okay, well, let's move on. This isn't on there, but how about you? How much anxiety goes through your mind if you don't have a charger and the battery goes under 20? If it starts to go, like, changes color to red, oh, man, I got to get home or something like that to a charger. How many 18 to 24-year-olds get majorly upset if they're without their phone for a brief period of time? 18 to 24, how many of those get majorly upset if they're without their phone for a brief period of time?
Like an hour?
How brief was this?
Let's go half an hour.
How brief was this?
Oh, that's a lot. I'm going to say 36%.
36, that's a solid guess.
I'll say
85. 85? 70?
98%. Okay,
that's... Well, he read those.
77%?
He told me I can't use that.
77% get majorly upset if they can't find their phone through a brief period of time.
Not being able to find yours.
Now, all iPhone and Android users, this one's a little different. How many check their email the second they hear the sound of the email thing?
Oh, I know. Well, not email. If text, I do.
Just email.
I don't care about email. I don't
use email.
All users.
Fred is
adults too.
Okay, well, everyone. Okay.
50%.
50%?
Yeah.
I've checked my email more because it's like college stuff, so I've like had to check it.
We're talking like the second you hear it. Yeah.
Why not the second I hear it?
58. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. That's the wrong one. 58% of the entire population can't go an hour without checking their phones.
58%.
I guess I didn't put that other one on there.
There
it is.
59% check their email the second they hear a chime. Here's one. Now, you're going to have to use your imagination on this one. How many adults, when they're on vacation, away from everything, check their phone once a day for email? When they're on vacation, How many?
To be like a lot or a little?
Just what would you think? Every day, while they're on vacation, they're still checking their phone.
I think like 75%.
Like my mom would, but my dad wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
so you'd go
85%.
85%.
88%.
88%.
87%.
Or 88.1.
89.
Oh,
89.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I believe
that. I should have gotten
that. This one's weird. What percentage of teenagers sleep with their phones?
Like, right? Well, like, give it a little over percent. Give it a little night, night, night.
They read it bedtime stories.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 73.
73.
Yeah, I'll say like.
Well, like.
82?
78. Like, I'll have it on my
87.
I guess we'd say.
Like a
within long. A foot of you.
I guess, within like. It means, like, are on their phones until they go to sleep, probably, is what it means.
Right? Oh, no, it means you're asleep, but if it dings, you're going to hear.
Okay, so yeah, it's near you. Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
I don't
know, 80%?
87. The last one, what percentage of people polled said that they couldn't go a day without their phones? Couldn't go a day.
97.
And this counts grandma and grandpa, okay? This counts everybody.
Everybody, okay.
92, 87, 62. 84%. And the whole point is maybe it's time for a cyber Sabbath. Maybe. Again, the whole point of this whole study has not been, this is not the point. Let's have a bonfire and throw all our iPhones in there and listen to it hiss and talk about how that's the evilness leaving. That's not it. That's not it at all. In fact, that needs to be publicly mocked. Maybe just being open to the possibility that it's time to take a cyber Sabbath. Be honest with me. Let's just start with the first question. Is checking your phone the last thing you do before bed?
Nope.
Yes.
It's okay. Hey, this is a safe place. You will not be judged. Is checking your phone the last thing you do before bed? Now, obviously, you know the next question. Is checking your phone the first thing you do when waking?
No. I think it depends on the guy.
Well, yeah, it depends because, like, I didn't check it this morning, but, like, I'm trying to see what time it is.
Right.
I don't have a clock.
Well, I should say, okay, not if you're checking what time it is, but if you check to see what time it is and say, oh, it's 6 o'clock. And then you go, let's see Instagram. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Not just what time is it. Oh, somebody texted me. Something like that.
But I'm going to text you in the middle of the night so when you wake up.
You do it. I'll probably be up. I'm up at 4 every morning.
Huh?
I'm up at around 4.
My dad's up at 3 every morning.
We talk to each other.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. No. But we'll be at those meetings. He'll be like, all right, fellas.
Hey, how's your pre-dawn doing?
We're going to wrap it up. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I know that one day he'll wake up at 6 or 7. That'll be a great day. But next thing, would you rather give a mugger your phone or your wallet / purse? If a mugger came up, hey! And,
oh, man.
Oh, it depends on what I get in my wallet.
Well, my wallet is always good.
Or if you had cash.
Yeah. I don't know. I might do my phone because I think my phone's not worth a lot of money. Like, I don't have, like, an iPhone or, like, a
Samsung.
And I got this Samsung.
Okay, let me give you a scenario, and you just be honest. Tell me what goes through your head, because this is a safe, we'll call it a treehouse. There's no judgment, not outwardly. I'm not going to judge you outwardly. Here's a scenario. You're about to go to sleep, and then you hear the ding. You get a notification of some sort, and you fight the urge to check it. Sometimes you do check it. Sometimes it's something that gets your wheels turning, and you can't quite go to sleep because, well, what did that mean? Anybody ever been there before? I have, several times. Sometimes it happens several times in a week where you go, you're done for the day. You're putting it away, and all of a sudden, oh, it vibrated. What is this? What do they mean by that? And your wheels start turning, and guess what happens? You can't go to sleep. You can't go to sleep because you're thinking about the thing. You're going, what in the world? And 99% of the time it's been for me, nothing near what I was fearing. Like, I'll call. Because you never know. Some people call and they're like, call me whenever you get the chance. Okay, I do. Hello? Yeah, did I leave the milk out? You know, it's something small. But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm trying to go through all the scenarios. Now, what could it be? What could be? And then before you know it, it's like 11 o'clock. Oh, I got to go to bed. Has that ever happened to you? For many of us, here's what happens. I'm like, who else bored scrolling through that newsfeed? it was a picture. Here, for many of us, when boredom strikes and we feel our most bored, however you want to say it, we pick up the phone and we start aimlessly looking around at things. We go into neutral. We were in drive, then we flip it to neutral, and we're just kind of vegging, right? We're kind of vegging. So, that could be called inviting distraction. Ever wonder, hear me out, this might be why many of us feel overwhelmed. I know y'all have standardized tests, sports, all these other responsibilities to feel overwhelmed enough. But here's what happens when we feel bored and we start scrolling. We're in neutral, not much going on, and stuff is presented in a news feed that makes it look like this is urgent and very important. You need to respond to this. So what that does, that puts your brain in, oh, this is serious. Oh, this is something I need to think about. Whereas you were just looking to kill time, now it's, oh. And this is my only argument, is that this might be why all of us, to a point, kind of feel overwhelmed from time to time. A lot of it has to do with this thing right here. And I'm just as guilty as you are, trust me. But it might have to do with this thing right here, because we're just looking to break the boredom. And then, like I say, something that pops up on there, oh, I need to respond to this. Oh, this is a big deal. And then it's like more stuff heaped on top of a busy schedule. And that's what can happen. We just wanted to scroll aimlessly, and here we are seeing something that seems like it might need your attention. Something to just think about. Now, y'all know that we ourselves definitely do need rest. Yet, have you ever considered that your soul might actually need rest? Your soul might actually need rest just as your body does. 1 Corinthians 6:12, we can go there. 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, walk into a bar. 1 Corinthians. Actually, my professor from Ireland, he says that, Mr. Trump, he got it right. He didn't mean to, but that's how we talk over there. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. That's the way we always say it. You know, he said he got it right without meaning to. 1 Corinthians 6:12. And this is a biggie. This is a common saying that Paul is speaking into. Everybody said it back then in Corinth. 6:12. Here's what it says. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. In return, I also, as I speak to children, widen your hearts also. Let me see here. That's 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. That was in 2nd. That was way off. Go for it. Flip. Here it is. All things are lawful for me. That's a common phrase, common saying back then. A lot of people said it. Oh, it's lawful. It's not against law. Corinth was such a town. Before the gospel took root there, if you called a girl from Corinth, it was a kind of a cuss word. They were not known for their moral uprightness. She's a Corinth girl. It was not a good thing. So this is a phrase they had. 6:12. All things are lawful. It's not against the law. Ah, Paul says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered or enslaved by anything. Does yours say mastered?
Yeah, it says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not anything beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Very good. Very good. I would say the NIV nailed that one. I will not be mastered. Not be mastered. All things are lawful. It's not against the law, right? And you can say that with this. Not against the law. You can look through God's word and not going to say anything about any of this stuff. But I will not be mastered by anything. It's not against the law, Mr. Preacher Man. Yeah, it's not against the law, but I will not be mastered. The backstory is this. People were doing all kinds of perverted things. All kinds of bad stuff in Corinth. And so Paul had to write this letter. And he had to write this letter. And they know Paul. You're the guy who talks about Christian freedom, Paul. Like, I'm free in Christ, right? I have great freedom. And Paul says, you absolutely do. You have a lot of freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ gives you a long leash on some things, but that leash can enslave you. That's his point. It gives you a really long leash, but that leash can definitely enslave you. Here's a good quote. The power of Christ in you should be the most powerful thing about you. It should definitely be more powerful than anything else the world might have to offer. That's the whole point of this. What has more power over your soul? Is it the news feed? Is it the God of the Bible? The power of Christ in you should be the most powerful thing about you. It should definitely be more powerful than anything else the world might have to offer. That's something to think about. Hebrews 4:11, why don't we go there? If you do feel this low grade, there has to be something more, something better out there. There's got to be more. Well, good. You're in good company. Hebrews 4:11. Here's how it goes. Let us, therefore, strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall into the same sort of disobedience. What is it we're called to go into? It's a special kind of soul rest, right? St. Augustine said this, you've heard it before, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Our hearts are looking for something, and in Christ they found it. Rest in the fact that the search is over. That's what you're supposed to rest in. John Calvin would say that our hearts are idle factories. Like there's a conveyor belt, and what our heart does, it's never in neutral. Never. It's going to go, it'll find delight in that. Nope. And it falls off. It'll find delight in that. Nope. And fill in the blank. Popularity, acceptance, comfort, ease of living, whatever it might be. Just no problems. Our hearts are conveyor belts, and there's one idol after another. It keeps falling off, and we're restless until we find our rest in thee. That's what Hebrews 4 is talking about, finding your rest there. We are looking, there it is, we are looking for something to satisfy our souls. Here's what the scrolling thing can do. The scrolling thing. The restless feeling happens each and every time a child of God tries to force an object into the Jesus-sized hole we have. Our heart has this like hole that's Jesus-sized. What we do is we try to cram something in there that's not it. And it works for a second, but not in the long run. Have y'all ever played this game?
Yeah.
I'm so bad. It teaches you to be like really uptight.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you ever played it before. It's a guy, and there's like, you know, there's a bone and all these other things you're supposed to put in there using these clamps. But if you touch the sides of the place we're supposed to go, his little nose lights up red, and you lost.
I wonder if they like use that in medical school.
I hope so.
I hope so. You have to pass operation before you can be accepted.
That's right. That's right. That we don't care about your undergrad. We don't care what you studied. Can you pass on operation?
Yeah. The bucket one is always the easiest.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like the rubber band.
Yep. Like, how did that guy get all that stuff? Anyway. Yeah.
You know, you had the writer's cramp, but yeah,
yeah,
I'm not using
this. Yeah. Operation. Well, that is the human heart. That is the human heart. Whenever we say, you know what's going to do it for me? You know what's going to make me ultimately happy? It's going to be, I don't know, having this girl or guy like me, whatever you want to throw it at, popularity, and it's going to go, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Matthew 11, let's go there. Matthew 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he's talking to a bunch of Pharisees here, and he's saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. If you have a bunch of burdens on you, come to me. And we always hear that and think of sins. And that's true. It's true. But if he's talking to a bunch of Pharisees, what is their sin that's weighing them down? Think with me here. Was it pride? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Pride in what form has it taken in their life?
They're trying to be perfect.
Uh-huh. Can you understand then somebody perking their ears up to that? Come to me, aren't you weary of carrying around the burden of having to earn your worth? That you need to be so good that God accepts you, if that's even possible. Aren't you tired of that? So you could probably hear their ears perking up. Ears perking up. And then 29 says this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Just like the Pharisees, they're looking for God's acceptance through rules. So that's not too far away from our heart when we're in our idolatrous mode of trying to earn worth, earn acceptance from whoever it might be, whoever the person is. The satisfaction of being someone of worth, someone who's accepted, all wrapped up. Facebook actually gives a pseudo-acceptance, and that's why the heart still craves something after scrolling. It gives a pseudo-acceptance if you use it in the wrong way. So let's just break this down. Now, I don't want to do the math right now because I don't follow her on the Twitters, but let's just say Miley Cyrus got 2.5 million followers. She writes something, and then within 30 seconds, it's retweeted a couple of thousand times. Now, how many of us in this room would not feel some sort of power with that? Some sort of, oh, I am something. That's very, what do you want to say? That's intoxicating. That kind of thing, where you have that kind of power. But it's not, obviously, not to talk bad about her, but she's obviously looking in other areas for worth. She's tried that, she's tried that, she's tried that. You'd think that'd be enough for the human heart. It's not. It's not. So watch yourselves, because social media gives a pseudo-acceptance. If you use it the wrong way, if you're going for likes, if you're going for all the other stuff, it's not going to calm the heart. Couple of verses, couple of Psalms. Did y'all ever see that video way back? Your parents ever show you Salty? Yeah, Salty, no? Little big huge book. Hi, kids. No? John, you never? Yeah, Salty? 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 I know, he wasn't that mean.
No.
I'm just kidding. You Salty. You Salty. Psalm 46:10. And this is probably, you hear the guy who came by, Mel Wright. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. You remember that? He came by and did a sermon. You need a shot of 46:10. Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. This is how our heart needs to hear this, even as a Christian. As a believer in Jesus, you still need to hear this. I still need to hear it. Be still. Like, we're always looking for that thing. Be still. Psalm 131. And this one goes this. Psalm 131, verse 2. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Do you notice something about that 131? David says that he's calmed himself down. He's on the aggressive nature of calming his soul down. It didn't happen by accident. He was the acting agent in this calming thing. Actually, both parties, David and God. But Dave really took the ball and went to God to quiet his soul. I think we in the Presbyterian Church, sometimes we just assume God's going to do it all. Particularly with this whole deal. Like, he did everything for our salvation, yes. But now we got sanctification. And that's a double thing. We combine on that one. Puritans often talk to their own souls. And it sounds weird, but it's so true. They often talk to their own souls. Be still, O my soul, be still. Don't get wound up in this. So the author now has a story. I'll just read. Here's what happens. He talked about a time that he had to go to counseling for his workaholic issues. It was a nightmare of his own making. No matter how hard he tried, he was trapped and he couldn't keep his head above waters. He woke up behind and tried as hard as he could, but the workload still piled up. The counselor, and this is him talking, heard me out and asked several questions. Eventually, he helped me see the pattern that I was trapped in. He said, "Your body is addicted to adrenaline. That little shot you feel every time you complete something, that's the drug being released in your brain. And just like heroin or some other narcotic, your body craves that spike and it's forever chasing it." I realized that what he was saying was absolutely true. So, of course, I was willing to do anything I could to overcome it. But to me, this solution sounded like the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. You need to learn how to shut down. You need to schedule 5 minutes every day when you just do nothing. That's it. Don't do anything. Don't think anything. Just be still before God. Put it in your calendar and then stick to it. I listened to him respectfully, but I was thinking, you don't know what you're talking about. You have any idea how much I still have left to do? I don't have time to do nothing. I'm paying you $95 an hour for this advice, and this is what you're giving me? The author said it was the hardest thing he's ever had to do. Sit still for 5 minutes with nothing to do, nothing in front of him. My mind instantly started reeling. Wait, what was that? What just happened? What am I missing? Was that an important email? Is that a text I need to respond to? And Amy is his wife. What if Amy needs me? What if one of our kids is hurt? Did somebody just post a picture of their coffee with the swirly thing on top? Did somebody just like the picture I posted of my life? What's happening? What's going on out there? What am I missing? Laugh all you want, but I dare you to try it. Now, how many of y'all would be weirded out by that? 5 minutes of nothing. Nothing. I think I would be. I tried it. I could go like 3 or 4. And then I was like, I need a book or something. I can't do 5 just sitting still. It's really hard. Really hard. 5 minutes. Can you do it? Or is something mastering you? Do you constantly have to check what's going on in other people's lives? Or can you find the discipline by the power of the raised Christ, power that raised Christ from the dead, who now lives in you, to just be still? Now, let me just ask around. I have a picture of a family sitting around a table. How many of y'all have a rule about phones at the table? Yep. You have one, Scott? You have one? It's not bad if you don't. It's
kind of a given.
Kind of a given.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, we don't have a rule, but we've never been like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah, but if you did break it out, you would definitely get some.
They'd probably be like,
what are you doing? Yeah. Some families say no phones at the table or at special times. Everybody does it differently. But it's good to have some sort of boundary. He's talking here. Amy and I put a defense in place. I was studying, writing the material for this book. We have our kids ready for bed at 9. The older kids have a later bedtime. Everybody's in at 10. We put our phones on Do Not Disturb and then plug them into their chargers between 10 and 7 a.m. That's our time. We're out. In a legitimate emergency, of course, their kids can knock on the door. The goal is simply not be mastered by anything. And I would beg a question. I've done it once or twice just because a huge issue was going on. And sure enough, there were emails back and forth, and all of a sudden one comes up, and you know, there's Mary and Thomas, and I'm so sorry. I got to respond to this real quick. But I felt like that big, you know, you don't take pride in that. It's the goal is not to be mastered. That's the goal, so that you're not mastered. That you're not mastered by anything. You ever had to leave it all silent for hours while you studied? Anybody ever had to do that? Like, legitimately just turn it off for a couple hours? Now, is that kind of difficult?
Yeah.
It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Maybe that's how it goes. Let's see here. The goal is simple. Don't be mastered by anything. Or, that's my favorite one, the Twitter guy.
Don't leave me.
But I think he's trying to say something. You can't post YouTube on there for a time or something. I don't know. But maybe you just need a periodic break from social media for the benefit of your own soul. The author mentions a month-long break. Why? To be legalistic about it? No. To do your soul some good. Maybe it will. Maybe it will do your soul some good. Now, with that said, does anybody use their phone primarily for the Bible? And that's okay. I use my iPad. I have that Reformation Study Bible on there. And when I'm at a section that doesn't make much sense, pull it up. R.C. Sproul says something. You know, he's the one who did the notes to it, so we'll look on the notes. And you even mentioned that sometimes during a sermon, you'll read the notes. Like, hey, wait a minute, they got that from the Reformation Study Bible. But sometimes that'll be the case, and that's not wrong. I have to kind of apologize. My professor came here, Dr. Johnson, great guy. But he got up there, and I understand. He got up there and goes, I just love hearing those pages turn. I get tired of all these people who have their Bible on their phones. He's a good guy. But some people kind of think that's not quite the Bible, even though it's the Bible. The Kindle app, I use that for so much stuff. Christian books and things of that nature, and it has been a really good aid. There are other apps. There's a lot of apps you can get that keep, what in the world is going on with that thing? Keep a daily reading going on. It can keep you accountable and all that other stuff. So that's not to say that throw the phone away. It's no abuse. It is abuse. Definitely. But last text, Jeremiah 6. The question should be, how could I use this device? How could I use this device for good? How could I use this device for good in the morning when I first wake up? That kind of thing. Jeremiah. What is it, 6? Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is and walk in it. Find rest for your souls. The people of Israel, they were naughty. They said, we will not walk in it. But the first part is what you're supposed to look at. Find stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Maybe it's time for you to consider the world around you. Anybody ever been there before where you actually go outside and you're like, man, it's actually pretty nice out here? I've done that several times. Like, oh my goodness, there's a whole world out here. This is not bad. Consider the wonder, the glory, the extravagance of all that God's created, both his worship and for our pleasure. The world he has given us to live demonstrates that the rocks will cry out in worship if we don't. That's from Luke. Watch a sunset. Bask in God's power in creating it. The genius of its color and light. Just let your soul soak up its beauty and resist the temptation to take a picture of it and share it. That's the big part. Enjoy creation. Resist the temptation immediately to take a picture and share it. Enjoy creation. And this is so hypocritical of me, but someone posted a video of Switzerland or something like that. It was this mountain town, and it was like, oh my goodness, it was every Hallmark Christmas movie that centered in Europe. It was just so beautiful. Just snow was gently falling. You had the peaks. You had all these downtown shops. And there was a mountain, like, right there. And I thought, my goodness, if I lived there. But, you know. Finally, it comes down to this, though. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest in your souls. Are you standing at the crossroad? What decision do you need to make? Identify it, call it by its name. I don't think many of you here struggle like many others do. I think you have your boundaries in place. But just be open to the reality. This thing could be mastered. I might want to check this out. So anyway, that be it. We'll begin a new series next week.